From the fog, I'm your host Casey, and with me as always is the amazing and wonderful Veronica. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good. And happy 1 year anniversary.
Happy 1 year anniversary. Salud.
It's the 1 year anniversary of Tales from the Fog, and as promised, we got a wonderful interview with John Cook coming up at the end of the podcast here, so stick around for that. And this episode is all about what's coming to Not Scary Farm in 2017. So let's start off with, what are you excited for, Veronica?
Basically, I'm excited for anything that John Cook does, and turns out he's got something new this year, which he talks about a little bit in his interview, and then he unleashed at the haunt preview thing that we were able to attend, which was super cool. So, the thing that he has busted out for this year is a little venue called Dark Ride. And Dark Ride it's going to be in Boardwalk. So Boardwalk's got these vintagey clowns. It will be vintagey clown-centric, but it's going to have so much more than clowns. And the perspective is very, very clever, in my opinion. I think that it's going to be fantastic. So hopefully, if you're listening to this, you've already heard the Knott's preview or seen the Knott's preview. But if you haven't, we're not going to go through every single venue point by point. We're just going to kind of go through the highlights of what we thought was groovy. So I am looking forward the most to Dark Ride. How about you?
For me, I think I'm looking forward to another John Cook event, which is Trick or Treat Lights Out.
Indeed.
Sounds really awesome. I don't know. I just love the idea of using those Cantum flashlights and what they're going to be able to pull off. It's going to be really interesting to see how the talent use this technology to their advantage or disadvantage, because a lot can happen when using that kind of tech. I don't think they're going to be able to survive just on the traditional pop-out scare. I think there's going to have to be something more to it. They're going to really need to utilize those flashlights and when they're turning on and off, and hopefully they can get in sync with all of that in order to make themselves appear and disappear and all that kind of stuff.
I wonder if there's some sort of rehearsals that they can go through, because it is such a specific map with the way that the lights are going to be on and off and where the guests are going to be taken. I wonder if they're going to go through and either have the opportunity to become familiar with or just simply be told what the flashlights are going to be doing when, yeah, so that they know when they can be stealth and when they're visible and that whole thing. I imagine it takes a little bit more rehearsal time for something like that than for your traditional walkthrough.
Yeah, and we know that they did beta test it there was a Haunters event where people that work in the haunted attraction community were able to go to this kind of workshop event at Knott's. You could pay to go, and you got some behind the scenes stuff and some good tips and tricks from people that design and build at Haunt. And so one of the perks of going is you actually got to go through the new Lights Out attraction because it was done in time. And so a lot of people already got to see it, and we're getting really good reviews. The only problem is most of the monsters that were in there working were veteran Ghost Town and Streets talent. So I don't think any of the people that are actually going to be working the event in those positions have been able to do any rehearsal on it.
True, but we don't know what they've been up to behind the scenes, and they could have also picked veteran talent specifically for this venue, knowing that it may take a little bit more than just following the shadows and knowing your room and stuff like that.
Yeah,
hopefully anyway. But yeah, I agree. That's going to be cool.
So let's talk about the other brand new attraction, Pumpkin Eater. What do you think about that? Daniel Miller maze.
I dig Dan Miller as a designer. I like the almost cartoony, not lighthearted, but just almost comic book-like and very gory. You know, I like that approach. I think it's a lot of fun. I think it's kind of like, you know, the whole park is filled with different versions of scary movies. And this is like almost like a almost pop, not pop art, but I guess comic book is the best way I can describe it.
It's comic book or even video game-ish.
Yeah. Actually, that's a great way to say it. It's very video gamey. And I don't know if that's by design or if that's something that I can, like, my relationship with video games that projects onto it. But I like that, like, the way that he chooses his colors, is there, like, nice contrasts and everything. I like the story for Pumpkin Eater. I like that it's pulling on the nursery rhyme. Yeah. The Peter Pumpkin Eater. And they've had the Scare Zone, the Hollow. Is this year two for the Hollow?
Yeah, this is year two.
Okay. So now the Hollow was in its infancy last year and still figuring out, you know, how the characters are going to develop and really kind of like putting their roots into that area. This year, I think, at least it sounds like from, you know, the intel that we have, that it's going to be much more robust and character driven. Yes. and much more rich for the guest's perspective.
From what I got from it, it's going to go much closer to how the Gauntlet used to be, where there's kind of mini skits. Mm-hmm. And there's like a little storyline that kind of unfolds among the monsters and the characters within the zone. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of excited to see that return.
I think it's going to be beautiful. To
the
Knots.
And I'm just glad that they're starting to put mazes back in the park. You know, it gives people a reason to go deeper into the park and see the different areas when there's mazes scattered throughout.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, Pumpkin Eater is going to be in the Hollow, much like Dark Ride is going to be in the Boardwalk area.
Yeah.
So they're themed in alignment with the area that they're in, which is
cool. That's something that like Busch Gardens in Tampa does. They usually have a scare zone around their mazes, and that scare zone fits the theme of the maze that's in that scare zone, which I really like. I dig that because it just immerses you even more in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Another cool thing that's happening is the Voodoo Maze, which is a great maze, beautifully designed. They are extending it, and you're going to be going backwards through it this year. So you're going to be going, what was the exit last year is now going to be the entrance. What do you think about that?
I was trying to mentally walk through backwards. Mm-hmm. So the end of it is like the swamp, right?
Yeah.
Like the backwards.
Alligators and stuff. And
mm-hmm. So you're going to go, I mean, but they're also making it longer, so it could be more, I don't know if it's going to be more added to the swamp area or more into that New Orleans area. They said that
because you used to exit and you were just in between warehouses,
mm-hmm.
So they're pulling that exit farther up, so it's not going to be like you're just between warehouses. So the exit, what was the exit last year is going to be longer, which is now the entrance.
Okay. Gotcha. I think it's going to be cool. I've always liked that one. I like the that funky kind of New Orleans aesthetic that's throughout the whole thing. I like mm-hmm. the bayou. It's, you know, it's reminiscent to me of New Orleans Square, but the dark, creepy side. I think it's going to be really cool. But yeah, it's always been one of my favorites anyway. So to hear that it's getting an upgrade is pretty exciting.
Let's see. I'm really looking forward to that too. Gosh, I don't know. Red Barn, I guess, is the only other one that they really talked about in depth. And they are bringing back chainsaws, which is amazing. I'm so happy they're bringing chainsaws back to haunt.
I didn't realize that they were gone. I don't pay attention.
So chainsaws and apparently possibly being able to get stuck into places in Red Barn. I don't know how that's going to work with how many people have to get through it.
Yeah.
But they did kind of mention something about that. Either there's going to be multiple paths where they can split groups up or places where you can get stuck. I don't know. But there was something mentioned about that.
Yeah, I'm curious to see that. Because that venue has always had a pretty specific path that it's had to go through. So I'm wondering where they'd be able to squeeze that in.
Yeah.
I think it'll be cool, though. I like that. I know they've been doing this for a while, but there's like a little preview, like an actual video that they play for each venue. And I think that's super cool because it suddenly takes it from being just this walkthrough attraction at a theme park to like you're getting thrown into a story.
Yeah.
And it's really fun, especially from our perspective, because we like the production side to see like that extra level of storytelling on top of it. I like that they, I like that they bothered, you know? Like, it's just an extra level of, well done.
Yeah, I wish they would play those trailers in line or somehow incorporate them into the attractions because they're so well done.
Mm-hmm.
It'd just be cool, like a little teaser, especially on the busy nights, you know, where you're in line for an hour.
They'd be cool to have in line for non-themed things, like Accelerator, how they have the monitors everywhere. They should have, like, previews for the mazes playing there. And then if someone was maybe on the fence about something, you know, one of the attractions, they could see the preview and be like, oh, you know what? I think I will do that.
Yeah.
Kind of like cross-pollinating. That would be fun. Huh? Yeah, Knots?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Let's do it. So let's see. The other big announcement, and I want to make sure, gosh, I don't even think they have it on their website.
There's something else that I wanted to. Oh.
The Halloween Hoedown. What is it called? The Log Ride. Hootenanny. The Halloween Hootenanny on the Log Ride. I'm pretty stoked for that. What do you think?
I think it's going to be so cute.
I love that during the day it's going to be like this cutesy little spooky fun thing. And then at night it's going to kind of transform itself into something a little more scary.
I like that too. Yeah, because it plays something that could be innocent and then something that on face value is innocent but is deeply messed up.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of plays to both of those angles. And I hope that it is, you know, what, like, my mind has already put together what I think it's going to look like.
Uh-huh.
So I hope that it is as, you know, as fun as they made it sound. I have no reason to think that it wouldn't.
And Crazy Kirk and the Hillbillies, did the custom soundtrack for it, which is going to be fun. I think it's maybe they haven't done too many attractions that had a full custom soundtrack. Usually they pull music from other, bands or companies and stuff like that, but I don't know if they've ever recorded a soundtrack specifically for a haunt other than like the ambiance stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But music wise I don't know if they've ever done that.
I wonder. Yeah, because they have custom soundtracks, but those are all based on like sound packs and music that's already, like you said, already composed. I don't know if anyone's actually gone into the studio to record something specifically for haunt. That would be a fun trivia question.
Yeah.
So if anyone out there knows the answer, let us know.
Music-wise, I know they've done voices and sounds.
Well, of course.
That kind of stuff. But I don't know if they've ever done music.
Hmm.
So that might be a first for Knott's, which is good because it'd be great if we got more fun custom stuff that could really fit the venues.
Their pool of talent that they have access to is absurd. They have so many different people that are so involved in haunt in all its different ways that, like, one good Facebook post and they can have the solutions to any problems that they come across, either already on staff or, you know, close at hand in some other fashion. So, you know, wouldn't be a bad avenue to go down. And then the fact that, you know, this song was playing during the preview and I heard it and it was just this adorable little song. And I thought it was just some stock music that they had found for the thing, which I thought was really cute. And then to hear that it was actually something custom composed for the venue made it even better. So well done, guys.
Yeah. Then, guys, like other returning stuff, Shadowlands, Paranormal Inc., and Tooth Fairy are kind of the remainders. And I don't know if they're going to be doing... I think there is something new. I remember a brand new ending for Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
And the Tooth Fairy, instead of being an animatronic, is going to be an actual character.
Yep, it's going to be a live actor.
Which is pretty cool.
Well, they announced updates for everything.
Yeah, so I think everything's getting updated. Black Ops, I don't know if they've told anybody, but because of we work in the industry, we've heard that there will be some updated props and stuff in Special Ops.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know a couple of people that worked on some of the stuff. But Shadowlands, they also said they're redoing the ending.
And they're adding a couple of those big spaces. I think there might be like an extra forest or something. Again, they talk about it in the preview, but...
Yeah, and the preview went by so fast.
It did.
Was just like, oh my God.
Wait a minute. Okay, so we were talking about the preview and all this stuff happened. We didn't even address the white elephant of the preview.
What's that?
The sliders.
Oh, yeah. So sliders on the stage in the Good Time Theater, which is awesome.
Yeah, hello. So
And if you saw the preview and also saw the Decay Brigade shows, you may have noticed that some of the choreography might have possibly looked familiar.
Look, we all artists draw from some kind of inspiration. Not to take the high road, but, you know, what they saw in the show, whoever thought, you know, choreographed this thing, there are lots of things that we did. That wasn't the first time that it's happened. Won't be the last time that it's happened. Yep. However, may have inspired somebody else to do a thing. So, you know, for what it is, I thought it was really cool, actually.
It was short, good.
But intense. And, you know, at times, very reminiscent to parts of a Decay Brigade show. But you know what? If they looked awesome and they worked in the Decay Brigade show, they looked awesome and worked for this show, too. So, you know, it is what it is. Could have been a coincidence. I mean, it's kind of a, you know, thing that you can do with jazz or modern or whatever you want to do. But, you know, just happened to be kind of fresh.
Yeah.
But it was really cool because a lot of our friends that work at Scary Farm were part of this.
Yeah.
So, like, to see everyone done up in all of their outfits.
I think we knew pretty much everybody, but maybe one person.
Maybe. I mean, it was like a little family reunion. It was fun.
And during our interview with John, you will see us get interrupted a few times as the monsters were roaming around backstage.
While we were back there after the preview, the monsters had just been out, like, scaring in everybody. So they came in and were like, hey, guys. But it wasn't, like, blatantly obvious that we were recording. So they kind of, like, you know, were like, oh, sorry. We're like, eh, whatever. That's backstage life. But it was fun. It was a trip to see sliding up there. Like, how easily. Like, oh my gosh, we could so do a show up there. Ugh. Anyway. So yeah, sliders at the preview. Pretty amazing.
Then we hung out. There was like a little media gathering post-party that we hung out with. Got to see a lot of our friends, which was really cool.
That's cool.
And then we got a talk with John Waite, which was awesome. John Waite was there, who, if you don't know who he is, he was part of the panel, the 45th anniversary panel at Midsummer Scream. He's pretty much the original Halloween designer for the Log Ride and Mine Ride. So going all the way back to early days of Not Scary Farm. And we got to chat a long time with him about all things Scary Farm, which was cool, and had what he thought of the new updated knots and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that was a really insightful talk with him. And it was so impromptu. I mean, we were just at the shop that he had opened up that, it's like the Nautilus shop or something that's right across from the Good Time Theater.
Yeah, they turned it into a Scary Farm shop, which is great.
Heck yeah. They had some really cute stuff. I bought a mug. It was adorable. We got some limited edition pins, which you could only get that one night.
Yep.
Also awesome. But we were hanging out there, and then a friend of ours was like, hey, do you want to meet John Waite? And we're like, what? And he was just standing right there, just hanging out. I'm like, oh my gosh. So that was a lot of fun. He's so sweet.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. And it was really cool just to kind of get that little glimpse of history. And he even told us stories that we didn't know about, even reading Ted's book and watching the 45th anniversary panel. Like, he gave us little tidbits that even, like, we're like, wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool.
He remembers it so fondly. And you can tell by the way he talks about it that it's still such a highlight.
Yeah, and he said he still goes to Scary Farm once or twice a year, which is really cool.
Heck yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. Gosh, what else? Let's talk about street zones. We got Ghost Town, which is Ghost Town.
Yeah, it's still Ghost Town, all right.
We got Boardwalk Streets. We got The Hollows, which we found they announced is going to have kind of a good redo, which we sort of talked about. But there's one thing we didn't talk about is pyro. Mm. So apparently The Hollows is going to have some kind of pyrotechnic effect in it somewhere. Which sounds cool. I don't know what it is, but we'll find out in a couple weeks.
Yeah. And then, an update for
Fiesta Village. Fiesta. Yep. It's Fiesta de los Muertos.
Yep. So it started out as, like, it was just called Dia, right? It was Dia de los Muertos, or was it always Fiesta de los Muertos?
It was always Fiesta.
So I guess
it was more of like a dance party. They always had a DJ out there, and it was, you know, kind of a fun, not really scare zone, but like a fun character-driven area.
So I missed that meeting. I didn't catch that it was not supposed to be a traditional scare zone. I just didn't know. So I don't know how well that came off. There wasn't any, like, music was playing, but music's always playing. So I didn't really notice one way
or
the other.
So you never just noticed that the monsters were dancing around with the guests and having a good time?
Because every time I walked through there, the monsters weren't dancing, they were scaring. They were being monsters, in the traditional street zone sense. Like, none of them were dancing or anything like that.
Oh, every time I went through, they were dancing.
So.
I think we just look at different stuff, because there are monsters that kind of walk around and scare, but there was always, like, they had the big dance floor, and the monsters would be over there dancing with people and having a good time.
No. So now it's just all going to be traditional scare zone.
Yeah, I don't think, I guess no DJ, I guess that means.
It's a great space. It's a lot of room, good place to slide, fun places to hide. Great costumes. I mean, it should be fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's all the scare zones. What about shows?
Shows, Elvira. Elvira's last show, which they announced at Midsummer. They didn't really... They kind of showed, like, kind of the same thing they showed at the Knott's panel, sort of just like a little tribute to Elvira through the years, but they didn't really say much about what her show was going to be about this year. I mean, obviously it's probably going to be the same dancing and singing and whatnot, but they didn't really, I don't even think they gave a name for her show. Like,
I don't remember if they did. They may have. The video that they played was really cool though, because it showed like clips of her shows throughout the years. So you got to see the evolution of her wardrobe and the wardrobe of the backup dancers throughout the years. What was the first year? Was it like, was it the 80s? It was like 87 or something?
Something like that, yeah.
It was cool to see the different iterations of her costumes and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
On Knott's website, just says Elvira's last show.
Okay.
So there's that.
Elvira's last show.
Yeah.
She is still gorgeous and adorable.
So then the other one's The Hanging, which is Knott's tradition. It's called Fake Noose, which I think is freaking hilarious.
I think that might be like the best name for the hanging ever.
Yeah, I haven't watched a full hanging show in a long time, but based on the name of the show, I may just want to carve out some time and watch it.
Well, we're also going, like, we have an ambitious plan to go to Scary Farm every Thursday through the run, or mostly through the run. So we'll have time. You know? We could dedicate one night only to shows.
That's
if we wanted to. But yeah, Thursday is gonna be the only night that we're not working at Coffin Creek, so it's like our only time to go.
And so, I think that pretty much covers it for Scary Farm.
Is that all? They only have the two shows now?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow, remember when they had like 8?
Yeah, they used to have so many. I loved it back then, though, when they had tons of shows.
I did, too.
I wonder if they needed... Come on, Knott's. Let's bring back some more shows.
I really liked Ed Alonzo. I loved Hacks.
Chubby Bunny.
What was Chubby Bunny?
God, what was his name? He was the hypnotist. Wasn't it the hypnotist guy in the wagon camp? And he would do the thing with the marshmallows.
Oh, how many marshmallows can you shove in your mouth and say Chubby Bunny?
Yeah.
What else was there? There was Blood Drums. I loved
Blood Drums. Oh, they've had fire dancers, belly dancers.
They've run the gambit.
Yeah. The Freaks. The Gauntlet. I loved it back, when the Gauntlet was original, way back in the day, and they had all the mini stages set up throughout the entire scare zone. And so he had the Sword Swallower. He had his own little stage, right? And he would do his act, and then he'd go through the scare zone more, and then there'd be the next freak, and then the next one, and the next one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it kind of added, like, that Renaissance fair flair to the Gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved all the freaks into their own show, I think, in the Boardwalk Ballroom, and they moved the Gypsies out of the Gauntlet and put them somewhere else. And it kind of, like, slowly started taking away the full feel of the Gauntlet, you know. Which it was still fun with all the monsters, but without all the entertainment and stuff, like less people started going back that direction. But yeah. So we got a couple more minutes. How about a Coffin Creek update?
So we open on October 6th.
Yep.
With a not confirmed, never mind. Casey just told me no. So we're opening October 6th. We have, so what venues do we have? We have the, Inquisition.
Yep.
We have the, Insane Asylum. And we have a completely refurbished version, thanks to Mr. Casey, of the trail.
Yeah.
And it is going to be phenomenal. What are you allowed to say about the trail?
That it's all new? I don't know. I don't want to give away too much about what's on it, but the basics, I don't even know what I want to give away. We took the original backstory, which I don't think was ever posted anywhere, but it was like a 3-page backstory for what the trail is. And so I kind of took that and just made a completely new story that's current that has to do with the backstory that was there before. Which makes no sense to you guys, but totally makes sense to me.
Well, we have a little bit of stuff that we've kind of hinted at through the Coffin Creek Facebook page. So we know it's a nature trail that you start on.
Yeah, so the whole thing is instead of just like this trail in the woods, I was like, well, why are we going into the woods? What are we doing there? You know, there was no reason to go into the woods, so we needed a reason to go into the woods. So the idea is the original backstory and the original name of the haunted trail was the Prado Witch Trail. And the backstory is basically there's a witch in the woods that steals kids in order to stay immortal. Mm-hmm. But there was no reason, why are you going to the woods at night? Like there was no actual story for the attraction, just a backstory on why there was a witch in the woods. So what I did is I created an actual story for why you're going into the woods. So the basic story is there's a kid has gone missing and you're joining a search and rescue team in order to go into the woods and look for this kid that's missing. And as you progress through the woods, you're going to get more and more of the story. And eventually it's going to have an awesome climax.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that's all I want to give away.
That's more than I thought you were going to say. So that'll definitely work. As far as the asylum goes, there's not a lot to report at this time, other than wardrobe is underway for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it comes to haunts that are not the gigantic scale of like the Knots and the Horror Nights and all those guys, the time frame works very differently. And that's what we're experiencing now, where some things can be planned for months and months and months, and other things have to be thought of kind of quickly. So we're working with that oddly warped schedule to make sure that at least like the trail so far and the catacombs, or not the catacombs, the Inquisition is like, those stories are solid. The Inquisition is actually, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So that's getting a little bit of a makeover as well. Everything's getting freshened up for this season as things should. But the catacombs was a little bit different. Now you're going in for a different reason. You're going to be told a different story and be part of a different story. So, I mean, the name itself, the Inquisition, probably like lays the groundwork for what's going to happen. But it's going to be pretty fun to go through that journey as well. That is a long maze too, by the way. I didn't realize how long, like in walking miles, that thing is.
It takes a long time to get through.
It does.
And that's without actors and lights and all that stuff. Just walking through it during the day, you're like, man, this takes forever.
Yeah, like you really get your, bang for your buck walking through that thing. And the trail, too. It's longer even than it was before.
Yeah, I think I probably close to doubled the size that it was last year.
No small feat.
Yep.
Lots of wood chopping with the machete.
Yes, lots of manual labor went into it. And then there's the other two attractions, which we have no clue, because the way Coffin Creek works is we're running three of the attractions, the other two, the Hayride, and then there's something called the Dark Realm, are actually being ran by a completely different group. And so we don't really know what's going on with those, and it'll be interesting to find out what they are.
Yeah, it's kind of a little strange being part of a bigger thing that you don't, like, know what else is happening, and you have no control over it, and you just kind of have to hope that it all comes together. Like, I think they will. I mean, what they do is they're LARPers, so, and that's, for those of you who may not know, that's live-action role-playing. So they're really good at telling a story, and they're really good at bringing those stories to life, and also with wardrobe, and I'm imagining sets as well. So I'm thinking, you know, without knowing anything about these people, that they're going to be able to take what they know from LARPing and make something really awesome in the haunted attraction world, because there's a big overlap there. But I hope it, you know, because the other venues that we do have control over, I feel like the bar is not getting higher and higher.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's awesome that they're finally, you know, they're bringing that area back to life, kind of thing. But they're supposed to have a hayride, which should be interesting in that area. I don't remember what the hayride was like way back when.
I've never did the hayride there.
I did it once, and it was so long ago. But I remember it just being kind of, you know, kind of quiet back there. So hopefully there's more going on.
Yeah.
And then I know that there was that other maze, too, where the Mines of
Moria. I want to say it was like Kingdom of the Lost Relics or something. It was another one that was done by Figment Foundry.
I think that Lost Relics sounds familiar.
Yeah.
But I don't remember anything about that either. I remember Chambers, and I think I remember the Asylum, but that's it.
The last time I was at Coffin Creek, they only had one maze, and it was just called Coffin Creek.
Really?
Yep.
What was it, any of the ones that are standing now?
It was the beginning, the three trailers at the beginning of the Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
That was there, and then you went through a bunch of other stuff outside, but it wasn't the same design that the Asylum is right now.
Mm.
It was much more open.
Should be interesting.
But yeah, Coffin Creek's coming along. Can't wait to finish the trail. I don't have too much work to do left, so that's really good. And then we can jump on the Asylum. I think that's pretty much it. So yeah, let's head over to backstage at Knott's Berry Farm and have an interview with John Cook.
Woohoo!
Hey everybody, we're here backstage at Knott's Berry Farm with Veronica and Mr. John Cook, haunt designer, musician, what else?
A little bit of everything.
And we just went through the Knott's preview event. And a bunch of stuff was just announced. But let's talk about a couple of things that everybody's known about for a while. What was it like redesigning Trick or Treat and bringing in the flashlights that you guys tried out last year, right, in some of the key rooms?
Yeah, so it's kind of a multifaceted the attraction way it came together. But first off, with flashlights, we experimented in our key room last year, Prey, where we used the same technology, which is the Gantam torch technology, but inside of a lantern.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it was really fun, and we saw a lot of potential in that technology. So this year, when we were looking at our maze lineup and what we were going to retire and what was going to take its place, we decided we wanted to hold on to Trick or Treat longer. We kind of wanted to try and do something to give it new life. And that's where this technology came into place. So even though it's a familiar maze, it's kind of going to be an all-new experience with the use of that technology, the flashlight technology.
That's awesome. I've heard really good things with the people that were able to check it out during that Haunter event.
Yeah, that's what's neat, too, is we did the changeover for the new maze so early on that we've been able to test run it a couple times and kind of look at the different things we needed to adjust and fine-tune it, and I think it's going to be a really fun attraction. Different.
Yeah.
Which is necessary.
Yeah. So what were some of the challenges coming into this year? Because I know you've had some amazing, like, probably some of my favorite mazes that have been at Knott's for a long time. Paranormal Inc., Special Ops, Shadowlands, and now Trick or Treat. And then, so they announced a couple of your new mazes, but what were some of the things that you thought about? Did you try to top yourself at all, or were you just thinking, what's a new direction I can go?
Yeah, you know, it's always tough, especially when Paranormal Inc. was my first maze. That's a tough one to top. So every year I always try to come up with, you know, a handful of different concepts that I think could be really good attractions. And then this year, when I came up with Dark Ride, I just stopped. I was like, that's it. That's the one I think I want to do, you know? So I didn't bother coming up with other ones. Just move forward with that. And I just think it's such a fun concept, and it's a way to do clowns at Knott's that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, so, I've never seen anything like that before.
No dark and dingy. I mean, they're all dark and dingy. Bright. No, these clowns don't smile. That's my line.
That's good. When you were thinking about doing Dark Ride, was there a progression that you saw, or is it more like, let's just kind of make it like an old carnival experience, or is there like a thematic progression that happens throughout the maze? Or
well, it's tough. It's tough because with Infected, it's like obviously the laser tag stuff is what made it different.
Yeah.
With Paranormal Inc., it actually I had the idea for that whole show moment before the rest of the maze, before the rest of the concept. You know, with Dark Ride, it's like, okay, I think I have this really cool concept, but how do I make it different and special? And so when we got deeper into the design, we started coming up with fun things, like when you're walking down the ride tracks of the maze or the attraction, all the electricity will be fluctuating. So all the special effects, the pneumatics, the lighting, the audio, it's all tied together. It'll all be pulsing on and off and doing all this stuff. So even though it is kind of supposed to be this old cheesy dark ride, it's actually a very high-tech experience.
Very cool.
It's just neat, though, the level of storytelling that I've seen you go through from the first design that you came up with, which is an amazing story, and then it just keeps getting better and better and more complex and more layers. And like from the fan perspective, that's really fun to see, where there's the top level of going through, you see this, then this happens and this happens, but the more you go through, the more you see. And it sounds like this is going to be one of those things where every time you walk through it, you're going to notice something more or get a little bit more of that world.
Yeah,
by walking through.
It always starts with the story. There's a brilliant guy named Scott Swenson that put this in he actually showed it with pictures. Mm-hmm. The story, look at it like a Christmas tree. You know, it's like the story is that the actual tree. Like that's the base of everything. And then from there you start adding in the different ornaments and decorations to make it, you know, fancy or whatever. But if you stripped away the tree, then you just have a box of ornaments sitting on a shelf. So it all starts with a very strong story.
Yes.
And that's what we always try to look at, is coming up with that story, whether it's the paranormal investigation or, you know, having to survive the zombie apocalypse, or in this case, the guest perspective is you've heard rumors of, you know, the folklore of these clowns hiding inside this abandoned ride. So you're going to check it out and explore that ride. And then as you get into it, you start to realize it's true.
Nice.
So, and then just, I'm a big nerd for the detail stuff, you know, the hyperrealism. So that's kind of, that's my, coming from my props background of set dressing, that's where I kind of nerd out, is on that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm with you there, but it's with the costume. Like, how much story can you tell by what they're wearing or what they're holding or stuff like that?
Yeah. And characters is something I'm continuing to learn still, you know, and how to treat those. And I think, it's like for example, on this new maze, instead of just having, okay, we're going to have 2 to 3 actors in every single room, let's strategically lay that out. So when you first enter the first couple rooms, there's no actors at all. It's just kind of getting familiar with the environment. You start seeing creepy little things. Then as you go, it builds and builds and builds and builds. And then one really neat thing about this maze is the finale room is massive. It's bigger than any haunt maze ever. It's bigger than the Paranormal Showroom.
And wow.
There's 14 clowns in it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So it's like awesome. You pretty much go into their green room or just where they
You go. It's actually the hell scene in the ride. So we're calling it Clown Hell.
Aww.
We got some really, really
poor
awesome.
Aunt, though.
We got some awesome actors in there. You know, we got our Deadly Seven guys, Joey and Boots, and all these great actors that all are spending the year inside this maze.
Nice. That's going to be really good.
Yeah, chaos. That's what we're going for, organized chaos.
How long is the guests supposed to spend in that? Like, is that a place where they kind of, like, stay and absorb a little bit?
Well,
or
it's a massive, massive room. So you actually walk through it, and then you leave the room, you go through 2 or 3 more scenes, and then you go through it a second time.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, and so
like the same space, or, like?
It's the same huge, big room, but it's the way we laid it out with props and set dressing, it helps create two separate paths.
Okay. Like the intro to 13X, how you like went through one way and then you went through the same way, but but on a much bigger. Oh, I can't wait to see.
I'm really excited for that one.
And another cool thing, another little bragging point. I think it's has to be the biggest maze that we've done in our, at least in a long time. I think an average maze for us at Knott's is about 5,000 square feet, and this is over 7,000. So it's it's a big maze.
Wow.
Yeah, for one maze.
So. I can't remember how big C3 was the first year, but it's probably close.
Yeah, I remember there was one in the back that was like felt like a mile long.
Yeah. Yeah, I worked that one the first time, and just trying to like get out of it to go to break, it took you forever.
So that's what I don't want to say is the biggest maze ever, because I think Infected might be a little bit bigger, but it's a pretty good size maze.
That's cool.
That's awesome. Did you get a bigger crew to work on it, or is it just the same quantity of dudes?
As far as build or
something? Yeah.
Just hybrid.
Yeah, Elisha's out there kicking the butt on it. But they do, they have a really large amount, large force of carpenters out there getting it done.
You need it. With every attraction getting more and more complex, you need more and more
that,
people
and
out there.
And because it's a space that we use year-round, we couldn't get it until late in game.
Yeah.
So we definitely had to throw a lot of people at it.
Where is it in the park?
It's in Boardwalk Ballroom.
Oh, where Dead of Winter used to be.
Correct.
Yeah.
Cool. That's a good space.
Yeah.
It's indoors.
It's air-conditioned.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They're going to like that.
So, I have a kind of a nerdy technical question because I am into the wardrobe. Like, how involved are you as the designer in the wardrobe that goes into your attraction?
So it's, it's funny. It's like every aspect of a maze, is controlled by me except wardrobe for the most part.
Really?
So we come up, we have, Red, who is one of our designers as well. She's our illustrator. So we'll sit down, we'll talk about characters. We draw everything out we want. And then it's handed over to wardrobe, and they take it from there.
Gotcha.
And then they craft and create all these amazing costumes based on what we give them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, they kind of have the final say on things because they take a lot of things into consideration that we don't necessarily think about, like this has to be washed every, you know, once a week or thing.
Yeah.
You know, so they
layers and easy on, easy off.
And when breaking down, you know, when they have to build 1,000 costumes a year, things have to, you know, be fluid. So
definitely.
That's kind of the one thing that's, you know, it's a collaboration, but they definitely steer that ship.
So you have the aesthetic, you have the idea
have the
of what
look.
You want.
Yeah,
and then
come
they
up with, like,
in
a color palette and stuff,
yeah.
And then they'll run with it.
That sounds fair, because it's kind of like having someone, you know, architecturally design something and then you have the carpenter actually build it. Like,
correct.
You can say what you want it to look like.
And then they figure out how to actually build it,
And that
frame
makes sense.
Frame it out and stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I was wondering how it worked here.
So, the other big announcement is monsters are coming back to the log ride.
Yes.
What? Are you changing up the way it was done before? Because we know you, and you always think a little bit outside of the box. And so, you know, before it was kind of every year, maybe even if it was a different theme. Same standard hiding spots, same standard scare tactic. Are you bringing anything new to the log ride?
So, yeah, the log ride is, I'm super excited about it, first off. Like, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. One thing to keep in mind, it was designed for kids. It was designed for the day show.
Yeah.
So it's just a fun Halloween experience for the whole family. But at night, we're adding talent back into the mountain. So there'll be 6 scenes that have actors in them. And if you remember the good old shaker can, that used to be a basic thing. Right?
Yeah.
So you
yeah.
stand there and do the shaker can. We did up our technology on that, if you will.
Yeah.
No longer is it a can full of rocks. It is now a button. It's like a typical scare trigger where you hit a button and does sound and light. We're getting
attacked.
We're getting monster attacked.
Hey,
Chase.
Hey,
bye.
Hey.
Hey. You look great.
So back to the locker.
Yeah.
We're totally leaving that in.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's going to be different, but I think it's going to be fun. We're putting a lot into it. Like, a lot of work's going into it. We created a whole custom soundtrack for it that's all original in-house. It's a lot of fun and stuff. We used the Crazy Kurt and the Hillbillies to record it.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and we're putting the skull back on the top of it.
I've been dying for that. I've told her since it's gone. I'm like, every year it used to be like, you knew Scary Farm was coming when you saw the skull back on top of the log.
Yeah, it's coming back, and it's probably the one, it's like, that's like the one, like, pain in everybody's side right now is that skull. But
really?
I think it's going to be worth it.
It seems like there's... I don't know, because I'm kind of on the outside, but, like, there was a bit of a battle about day ops, like, the day show being, like, seeing hints of haunts coming.
Right.
Like, they wanted to keep a very sharp separation between what happens during the day and what happens at night.
Correct, yeah.
And, like, as a guest, I always loved seeing that stuff, because I got excited for Haunt, because I saw those skeletons up there in those bizarre old-timey outfits, and seeing the skull above, you know, the mountain and everything, but...
Even just seeing the maze, like... the facades, like the asylum and all of that. You'd see the facades as you're walking around during the day and be like, wow, that looks really cool.
Yeah.
You know?
So I think, I don't know. That was kind of all before my time and above my pay grade when all those decisions were made to go ahead and pull all that out of there. But I think especially this year you'll start to see more of those elements that are kind of trickling back into the park, like the skull. I think they're going to do more of the spider webs all over Ghost Town that we all love.
Nice.
You know, and just more park decor. And that's kind of one of the main goals this year, is to make the entire park an attraction opposed to just mazes. Because I think that's the one thing that sets Knott's apart from our competition. It feels like Halloween when you're here.
Yeah.
As well it should.
Yeah.
I mean, you figure the event that produces revenue for not only the entire year, this park, but also other parks. You think that you would actually, like... We got monster bombed again.
Monsters are everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so fun to see. I'm so excited for Haunts. Cool. So, what else can we talk about?
What else have you been working on this year?
Oh, man. I did a little bit of stuff for, like, the Ghost Town Alive event.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What did you work on?
Just things to help facilitate some of the different puzzles. I don't even know. Different, just random little things here and there that they needed help. Bulk of the work was all done last year, so we just kind of did a couple new little things this year. But mainly I do Haunt. That's about 90%, 95% of my job here is just Haunt stuff.
Do you work on that year round?
Yes. Yeah. So I started Dark Ride before Haunt ended last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where was your inspiration? Like, where were you when you were like, oh my god,
the movie The Fun House, that old Clive Barker movie, right?
Yeah, Fun House? I think so,
I just was watching that, and I, during Halloween in October, like, you know, always sit around and watch horror movies, and I was like, that would be a fun mix concept. So that was definitely the single-handed inspiration for that one.
That's cool. It kind of reminds me of where I thought House of a Thousand Corpses
me
was
too,
going to go.
At first.
But then they deceived you, and had nothing to do with it.
The murder ride on House of a Thousand Corpses was awesome. I actually really enjoyed the, and this is nerdy to say, but the color palette they used on it. The muted tones and stuff. So that definitely, that inspiration is definitely trickling over as well.
Nice.
So is Carnival still filled with clowns? Or
is
it? Okay, so you're going to have clowns.
It's various clowns, and we're doing different colors for the Dark Ride actors and stuff. And there's also more than just clowns in Dark Ride. There's, the Carny mechanic workers.
Cool.
There's some homeless people that are living inside the maze as well. They're sharing a space with the clowns. And
of course, because why not?
There's a living Zoltar machine.
It's going to be with an actor in there? Oh, that's going to be so cool.
So that's a fun one. There's a try to pepper in some different fun carnival stuff into it.
That's fantastic. But again, that's what makes an attraction go from good to great, is that extra level of, you know, WTF.
And it's funny, it's like the way this maze is coming together, we still have quite a bit of work to do in 3 weeks, but so far I love it because it feels like it feels like more than just a maze already. You know, it feels like, because we're striving to build a ride, so that's what we're going off of. You know, obviously it's not a functioning ride, but that's what we're kind of modeling it after. So it's kind of fun so far.
Yeah, all the aesthetics have to be there, that because it used to be a ride.
Yeah,
so that makes sense. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, we're doing a fake track down the whole down the whole ride and everything. There's gonna be ride cars peppered throughout it, so it's fun.
Very cool.
Yeah,
that's such an interesting perspective. I mean, I would now that you say it out loud, it makes sense, but I really would hope that that is applied whenever you're designing something. Like, you're not designing a maze, you're designing a world.
Yeah.
And yeah, always,
within that world.
Always creating the immersive, trying to create that immersive world, because the name of the game is to, what is it, to try and make people suspend belief or disbelief
yeah.
for a minute, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's when the scares happen.
All right, so as we're wrapping it up, I guess, what are you excited for at Haunt this year? Is there anything that you're just, like, over-the-top excited for guests to see?
I'm excited. I think it's going to be a really solid year, you know? I like that, like I said before, we're putting more into the entire park. You know, the Hollow Scare Zone, mm-hmm. which uh-huh. didn't get much last year, is getting a lot this year, including a big pyrotechnic effect throughout it.
No, really?
Yeah, we're doing these like fun little vignettes all through the park. You know, Ghost Town, we're going to have the big train there lit up, and there's going to be a train conductor that's always there interacting and stuff. And so cool. I think I'm just excited to see how everything's coming together. I think everything we're doing this year is solid across the board, mm-hmm. and I think it's going to be a great foundation to continue to build.
That's cool. Fantastic. There's that theatrical element that I always thought that Knott's could have
yeah.
and never quite did. I really hope that it's more along those lines. Like, because there's just Ghost Town alone has so much history,
yep.
so much depth, so many stories that
yep.
could be told.
Well, and that's, when we got our new management that came aboard, they're fans of Knott's. They
right.
love Knott's. They love Ghost Town and the everything about it and the
mm-hmm.
history. So they're definitely embracing all of that opposed to trying to change anything. So
that's awesome.
It's a good place to be right now.
Yeah, very good.
Sounds like Ghost Town is in good hands.
Yes, definitely.
Well, thank you very much, John Cook. I know you're super, super busy right now, especially today. But thanks for taking the time out and to chat with us.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank
well,
you.
See ya.
Okay, guys, thank you guys for joining us. You can follow us on Facebook at Tales from the Fog, Instagram at Tales from the Fog. You can follow Veronica at
Veronica Voices.
And
Also, please give a peek to Coffin Creek Haunted House on Facebook.
Yeah.
We can get all the updates and things for that.
And that's also coffincreek.com, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, a shout out to Knott's Network. You can follow them on YouTube because they're actually this year doing something really cool. I don't know how many episodes are going to be coming out, but they're doing a complete behind the scenes of Knott's Scary Farm and doing episode by episode. So the one episode is out right now. It's all about auditions and wardrobe. And so you can go over to the Knott's Network YouTube and check that out and follow them so you can keep checking out what's going on behind the scenes and not Scary Farm. And then you can also follow the Decay Brigade on YouTube at Decay Brigade Official.
Mm-hmm.
And also on Instagram and Facebook at Decay Brigade Official. And I think that's it. Do you have anything else?
That covers it.
All right, guys. Until next time, we'll see you in the fog.
Bye, guys.
Bye.